Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. The book of Exodus, chapter number 32. Do you believe in God? We say that. But there's a difference in believing and believing. I want to make that distinction this morning. There's a difference in us than believing that God exists and believing in God. There's a really, really, really big difference in believing that God exists and believing that God is real. And putting our faith and trust in Him. Huge difference. Okay? And I want to explain a little bit more. You can have religion and go to hell. You can have a God and go to hell. People do it all the time. Chances are, in the last few minutes since we've stopped singing, somebody has died and gone to hell, and chances are they believed in something. But believing in something don't get you very far. And the reason people struggle so much is because of faith. Faith is a really, really, really difficult thing. And there's not very many people that can argue with that because the evidence of our faith is seldom there. There's not a lot of evidence of our faith in our life, and myself too. Because we say that we believe that God is there, that God is real, but... Let me go ahead and show y'all this. I drew it out first thing this morning. I am a visual learner. I don't love God. I don't serve God. I don't obey God because. Okay? These are some of the reasons that I've used in my life. This is from me personally. I don't believe in God all the time because I can't see Him. This is the reason my faith struggles. This is the reason that my faith is not as strong as it ought to be. Because we can't see Him. Because we're just not always sure. Because I can't always feel His presence. Because faith at best is a long shot. Okay? And this is not just me. I promise that other people have moments of weakness in their faith as well. Chances are somebody in here does too. But for me, as a person, I have doubted God because I can't see Him physically. I don't doubt that my dad is real. You know why? I saw him yesterday. Been around him my whole life. He has shown that He loves me. He has shown that He is my Father. All I have to prove that He's my Father is the word of my mother. And all I have to prove that she's my mother is a piece of paper that said, yes, she was there when he was born. That's all I have. We put more faith in doctors than we do God. We put more faith in paper than we do God. We put more faith in the government than we do God. Ain't that scary? But we do. And we do it without knowing it. You know why? Because we can see it. Because we can see our parents. We can audibly talk to our parents and they can audibly talk back. The reason that we don't always feel God's presence is because we ain't looking for it. The reason we can't always see God is because we ain't looking for it. The reason we can't always feel God, the reason that we are not quite sure is because we are not where we ought to be. If you go stand outside that front door right now and you move over to where there's a brick wall between you and me, and I held up five fingers, you could not tell me how many fingers I'm holding up. You know why? Because you can't see them. But what happens if you step in that front door? Then could you tell me? Yes, because you can then see them. The difference in faith and no faith is our confidence in the results. That's the difference. And having faith and not having faith is our confidence in what God has already shown us. We can't see gravity, but guess what? I don't have a 48-inch vertical. I don't. So we believe in gravity because of the results. We believe in gravity because we see what's happening. Wind, magnetic field, UV rays, radio waves, love, history. You know the reason that we believe history? Because somebody wrote it down. Guess what? People have been known to be wrong. Did y'all know that? When I was school teaching and somebody would get in a fight, they would have to get personal statements from everybody that was around the fight. Y'all know how many times in my career as a teacher those all lined up? Zero. Not a single time did more than two eyewitnesses give the same account. Everybody always saw something different. Human accounts are often wrong, and we put more faith in people than we do in God, because we can see people, because we can shake the hands of people, because we can look in their eyes whenever they tell us something, whenever we tell them something. We put more faith in history books because they are authored. Guess what? So was the Bible. We don't trust it. We don't have faith in it. We put faith in all of these things. We believe in all of these things more than we do in God, oftentimes because we can see them, because we trust the results. You know somebody loves you because they show it, because they prove it. But the thing about it is we're looking for results from them. You're looking for love from your parents, right? What if your mama come up and slapped you across the face? Out of nowhere. Just come up and got you right across the face. What would you do? Would you be shocked? Would you be scared? Would you be worried? Would you want to commit her? She don't do that because she loves you. You don't expect that because you know that she's not going to. You don't expect those things from your parents because they in history, in their past, in your memory, they have shown you love. And that is our goal for our kids, to show them love, to prove that we love them beyond a shadow of a doubt as time goes on. That is our goal. And believing in God, we should believe in Him not because of what He's capable of, but because of what He's already proven. That's the reason we believe in God. We believe in God because of what He has already done. We believe in God not because we can lay eyes on Him, but because He has eyes on us. We believe in God not because we can always feel His presence, but because we always know He's there. We believe in God because we have faith. We have faith in a God that we know is there. We have a faith in a God that we know is present. We have a faith in a God that we know has shown up. We have a faith in a God that we know is real. The trick is keeping that faith. The trick is maintaining that faith, and that's a hard thing to do. In Exodus chapter number 32, God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And y'all remember the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, right? He did all kind of evil to Egypt. I mean, just racked those people. And then as the children of Israel were leaving, now this is the same people, okay? As the children of Israel were leaving, they came up to this huge body of water. And Moses stuck a stick in the body of water and it opened up. And they walked across just as dry as the walking down this aisle right here. They saw this with their eyes. Anybody ever see that? Nobody? I tried it with a hair dryer before, a leaf blower. The water never holds. God did it. The water held. He dried up everything between. I believe they were kicking up dust as they walked across. These people saw that with their eyes. These people walked across it on their feet. These people drug their kids with them, drug their animals with them. They experienced this, okay? They experienced miracles in their life. They got across to the other side of the Red Sea and they said, "Oh, we're thirsty." Moses said, "Here, drink out of this rock." Anybody ever drank out of a rock in the desert? They did. Children of Israel drank out of a rock. Moses smoked the rock. Here come water. Straight on out. These people saw this. They experienced this. How in the world could we get down to chapter 32 and they have no faith in God? Pay attention. And when Moses and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods."
Everyone has a religion. Most of the time, it's not the right religion. Everyone has a religion. But not everyone serves my God. Does that make sense? Whenever these people saw that Moses wasn't coming down, that Moses was taking his time, that Moses was just, I mean, these people worshiped Moses more than they did God. And there's evidence of it right here. These people said, Moses is not here, so we're going to make us another God. We're going to make us a new God because we are used to seeing something. We are used to experiencing something. We are used to this man standing before us. Do not worship a man. Please, don't find yourself in a place that you are worshiping a man. Never, ever. It's wrong. These people found him in a spot to where Moses wasn't going to come back, and they said, oh, we got to have us a statue now. We got to have something here to worship. Aaron was always there with them, but they weren't worshiping Aaron. And yeah, I believe some of them were probably worshiping God through Moses. But they were dependent heavily upon Moses. Our faith requires us to depend upon our own self, depending upon God. Your faith is not contingent upon me, Brother Randy. How much faith you have has nothing to do with how much faith I have. Does that make sense? And how much faith you have has nothing to do with how much faith I have. Thank the Lord, right? How much faith the person sitting next to you have, how close your mama or your daddy was to God, has nothing to do with your personal faith in God. That is contingent only upon you, and our faith is weak. Our faith is weak. Jesus taught on this several times. He said, where is your faith? He said, why are you faithless? He said that twice. Where is your faith? How is it that whenever Jesus passed away, that whenever Jesus died, that whenever he hung up on that cross, why did the ladies come to anoint his body? People say that the ladies came because they knew that he was going to rise again. They didn't. They brought stuff to anoint his body so he wouldn't stink so bad. They brought oil to put on his body, so to put on the grave clothes, so he wouldn't stink so bad. They didn't ever cross their mind. And whenever they came back and told the disciples, the people who saw him raise people from the dead, that raise up Lazarus, the ones who saw him heal the blind, the ones who saw him heal the sick, the ones who saw him tell that man to stand up and walk. And he said, on the third day, I will rise again. And whenever the ladies came and said, hey, Jesus has rose again, they said, oh, you're crazy. Thomas said, unless I put my hands in his hands, unless I touch him, unless I see him, I will not believe. We see evidence of God all over us, all over our life. There's a song, and I have no idea what the name of the song is. But the chorus is repeated about 13 dozen times, and that's the reason I don't listen to the song anymore. But the chorus goes, I see the evidence of his goodness all over my life. I see the evidence of his glory all over my life. I see the evidence of God all over my life. And yet the children of Israel still chose to put their faith in a man. Do not put your faith in me. Do not put your faith in me. That's not where it belongs. I want you to trust me. I want you to love me. I want you to put your faith in God. I want you to put your faith in God. I want you to depend upon God. I want you to depend upon the one who can't let you down, because I can. I will. Preachers all of my life have been put up on a pedestal. Way up yonder. And y'all know some of them. And then whenever people start talking about them, oh man. He was something. He was a preacher. He would shell down the corn. They talk about him. And they idolized him. And those men were just as big a sinner as we are. The difference in them and all the rest of us is the amount of faith that they had. See, we have a big, I don't know what you want to call it. We have a big container full of faith, right? Let's picture it here for a moment. It's about yay big around. It's about yay tall. It's
It's got a hole at the top and a hole at the bottom. The hole at the top is where we are spiritually fed. It's where we receive our faith. It's where we have more faith in God. The hole is at the bottom. It's where our faith runs out if we do not spiritually feed ourselves. If we are not spiritually fed.
If we are not revived. If we are not renewed. If we are not constantly in God's Word. If we are not renewing our faith. If we are not loving Him more. If we are not trusting Him more. And if you don't put in faith, eventually that faith is going to run dry.
If you don't renew your faith, eventually that faith is going to run dry.
If you don't continue to believe, if you don't continue to be
enthusiastic. We are so enthusiastic about sports, but we are so not enthusiastic about God. There were more people watch that Iowa-LSU basketball game than watched any college football regular season game last year. And we care more about that than we do God. Because we get more excited whenever LSU makes it into the playoffs. We get excited whenever whoever else you cheer for makes it into the playoffs.
Well, we get excited whenever something's going on. We get excited and we'll dress up and we'll put on our purple and gold or black and gold or whatever it is. Everyone has a religion, whether it's sports that you worship, whether it's work that we worship, whether it's hobbies that we worship, whether it's people, whether it's friends, whether it's preachers, whether it's traditions, whatever it is we worship, if it's not God, it's wrong. It's in the wrong place. God should be up here. Family should be up here. All those hobbies should be down here somewhere. Sports should be down here somewhere. Church should be our reason for missing other things, not the other way around. Church, God, Jesus, should be the topic of conversation before anything else. I worry about people sometimes. When I don't hear from them, when I don't talk to them, so I'll call. Check on them. Make sure they're doing okay. Make sure everybody's healthy. Make sure that something didn't happen. Why don't we call and check on people's spiritual well-being as much as we call and check on their natural well-being? We care so very much that old so-and-so got a stump toe, but we don't care that they're going to hell. We are told to terribly worried about old so-and-so that mashed his finger in a car. But we don't care that they're going to hell. We want our kids to have the best education, but we don't care that they're going to hell. We want to talk about sports with our family that comes over to watch a football game or basketball game. And they'll spend hours with us. We don't care that they're going to hell. We don't even know most of the time. We have no idea because it's not concerning to us. You know why? Because our faith is in the wrong place. It has slipped in the list of priorities in our life. Children of Israel said to Aaron, make us gods which should go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. We don't know what happened to him. We don't see him anymore. We don't feel his presence anymore. He's not standing before us anymore. So we want you to make us a God that we can worship, that we can see, that we can put our hands on, that we can bow down before. And people are always looking for that. They're looking for something to bow down before. They're looking for something to grab a hold to. They're looking for something to put their faith in. And I'm trying to tell you about a God that you can put your faith in. It won't let you down. What happened to this golden calf that Aaron built? Anybody know? It's a really weird story. Brother Dean knows. He mentioned it last week in Sunday school. And wasn't many in Sunday school, so they might not have heard you. Moses broke up this golden calf, this God that they worshiped. Moses busted it to pieces, and he gave it to these people to drink, and they drank more water.
He said, this is the God that you serve. This is the God that you want. This is the God that you put before the God Almighty to drink. He put that gold in their drinking water. And they drank it because their faith was misplaced. Their faith was in the wrong place. Their faith was in the wrong God. Their faith was in a person as every bit as much as it was in the God of Israel.
And whenever Moses wouldn't come back, whenever Moses delayed, whenever Moses had stepped away for a minute, our faith should not dwindle because our pastor is unreachable. Our faith should not dwindle because we can't get a hold to our mama to pray for us. Our faith should not dwindle
because our God does not change. Our God does not sleep. Our God is not vacation. Our God does not take breaks. Our God does not take off. And there's evidence of His glory in our life, but we are in the wrong place to see it.
Down through time, people have prayed, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I want to be more spiritual. Be very careful what you pray for. Very careful. Because whenever you ask God to increase your faith, He's going to give you an opportunity to put more faith in Him. That's a hard thing to do. That's a terribly difficult thing to do. Because most of the time our faith is maxed out on about 50%. Most of the time our faith is maxed out because where we are constantly reminded that gravity exists, we are constantly reminded of UV rays exist, we tend to forget that God is always there too. God is more actionable than gravity. God is more relevant than history. God is more available than UV rays. Every one of these up here that I've listed that we see as constants in our life, that we see as things that are guaranteed, that they're 100%, you don't have to worry about them. Every single one of them we can hide from. We can get away from. You want to get away from gravity? Go to space. You want to get away from love? Become a hermit. You want to get away from radio waves? Become a hermit. You want to get away from UV rays? Stay inside. Everything up here, you can get away from. Everything up here can let you down. God can't. God won't. Let's put our faith in Him. It's a hard thing. Sometimes it's a dangerous thing. Because whenever we put our faith in God, He chooses to work through us. And sometimes that means that we experience loss. That we experience hurt. Back up to chapter 31 of Exodus. I want to read this to you. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. I don't believe that this is the first time that God met this particular man. I believe that this man's faith was in God to the point that God said, now I can use him. Now he can be of service to me. Right now, Bailey, she's a little bit of help. But right now, Brady is no help to me. No, but he helped me emotionally. But physically, he is no help to me. He just crawls around. If I drop a screw, he, eats it. We were working at Zach Hope yesterday, and I dropped a screw, and then Bailey said, I got it. And she crawled up underneath the deck and picked it up and handed it to me. She can be a help. She can be of assistance. Right now, Brady cannot. He just can't. I didn't even get him out of the truck because all he's going to do is eat dirt. That's the way we are as new Christians. We just eat dirt. But eventually we grow to the point that we can be used of God. That we can pick up screws. That we can use a hammer. That we can... You get up and be a teenager, you can build fence. You can help daddy. You can help papa.
can contribute. But whenever we're young, whenever we're itty bitty, we can't physically help much. I pray that we all get to the place in our life that God can use us. I pray that we get to the place that we can become useful to Him, that we can pick it, even if we're just picking up screws. That God can use us and whenever that happens. I could have asked Bailey, "Bailey, can you please pick up that screw?" And she could have said, "No, I don't want to." She could have went and sat down in the dirt and sat there and been absolutely useless to me the rest of the day. And that is how the majority of Christians live. When God says, "I want to use you," you say, "No, I don't want to. I'm staying right here." That's what we do. You laugh. That's what we do. As Christians, we run away from God. We don't want to be used of God. Because that requires something of us. That requires an extreme amount of faith. It requires us to go through things we may not want to go through. There's a song that the Jim Brady Trio sings.
Name of the song is "Stepping Out in Faith." Sometimes that step is long, sometimes that step is hard, but golly, that step is worth it. If we can just have as much faith in God as we do everything else. God chose this man. He said, "I chose him to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass and in the cutting of stones, to work in all manner of workmanship." Y'all know what he was building? The tabernacle. God chose this man to cut designs, to build, because I don't know a better word, the prettiness of the tabernacle. And this man said, "Yes, God, let's do it." This morning, if God is going to use us, we have to first have faith in Him. We have to first believe in Him. We have to first forsake everything else. Well, let's go and read it. I bookmarked this verse a while ago. Jesus said unto His disciples, now this is just after He told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Right? And this is a roller coaster ride for Peter. And if you get an opportunity to go read Matthew chapter 16, Peter goes from being the one that Jesus said, "I will build my rock on your faith, Peter." And then Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's how quick our faith can change. That's how quick our priorities can change. And then Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me," three things, one of my favorite verses. Three things. He must first what? Deny himself. If we're going to have faith in God, then we can't put all of our faith in people. If we're going to have faith in God, then we have to deny ourselves. That I got this, that I can take care of this, that I can do this. We have to give it to God. We must deny himself, take up his cross. This is work. This is struggle. This is tough. We went to the carry of the cross in Franklin this year. Emily and I walked in. It was a long way. It really was. I thought it was a long way. For some of you who hike miles at a time, it may not have been. That mile and a half was a long way for us pushing that stroller. Whenever we got to the fairgrounds, I got to looking. It's the first time I got really close to the cross. And that cross was heavy. That cross was built out of 4x4s. And it was plated on the front with 2x4s to add a little extra weight. Bless you. That cross was heavy. Jesus said that whenever you take up your cross, that you're going to have to experience the pain of work. That it's going to be a struggle. That it's going to be tough. That it's going to be hard. But it is worth it. Jesus went to the cross for you. It was hard, but it was worth it. Jesus died on a cross for you. It was hard, but it was worth it. Believe in Him. Take up your cross. And the last thing He said, another verb, He said, "Follow me." That means put faith in God, not faith in people. That means believe in God. He has something great planned for you, but you have to believe Him. He has something wonderful planned for you, but you have to believe Him. You have to step out in faith. And a lot of Christians are sitting back crying and squalling, saying, "God, I don't want this. I don't want nothing to do with this. God, my life was fine beforehand." If your life is fine and everything is rosy, then the devil's got you right where he wants you. Whenever your life is, whenever it becomes a struggle and a mess, and you just think, oh, the whole deck is stacked against me, it's because you're doing something right. And the devil don't like it. It's hard working for God. It's hard believing in God. It's hard trusting in God. But it's worth it. It's so very worth it. This morning I pray that as a church that our faith could be increased. That we could have greater faith in God. That we could believe in God. That we could step out in faith. That we would allow ourselves to be used of God. That we can grow to the point that we can be used of God. As individuals, I want to let you know that I pray for you. I hope you pray for me. That our faith could be increased. That we could be used of God. That we can work for God. That we can deny ourselves. That we can take up our cross. And that we can follow Him. Because we serve a God, we don't serve a man. We serve a God, we don't serve a religion. We serve a God, we don't serve a tradition. We serve a God, we don't serve a world that wants nothing to do with Him. We serve a God. And that is enough. Oh, we have a verse for song? I'm going to ask for verses of invitation.